always be funny.
Nice work, you dunce.
This guy's got me. He's got me.
That's a good one.
Oh, you want some music? Mock. Yeah. Nobody else? Ing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very, very, very quotable.
That one's good. Dumb and Dumber's really good. I say Step Brothers.
Step Brothers. Also yeah. Up there.
But what about the mask?
The mask
is pretty good.
Quotability? I think it's because I mean, you cannot argue that. Somebody stop me.
Roadkill.
Somebody stop me.
Smoking.
Oh, true.
Those
that.
Are in the nomenclature yeah. forever.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty big.
Oh, Waterboy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's up there. Honestly, for me, one that a lot of people don't quote, but it's like one of my favorite
sucks.
Quotes from the.
It really, really sucks.
One of my favorite quotes from that movie that a lot of people don't quote is, "It's me, your daddy, Roberto."
Roberto.
That I just say that to myself in the shower and shit. That's just one of the like. Who is that actor? I don't know that guy. Yeah. And he just shows up on the scene and just one steals thing. The movie Roberto. For like. It's me, your daddy, Roberto.
He's all fucking
insane.
He's all looking up and shit.
But when the mom sacks him and she doesn't know it too.
Oh god, so good.
Dude, not
no,
so,
no, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. And I was like, ooh, mama's right.
Mama is the medulla oblongata.
There's something wrong with his medulla oblongata.
Yes, I would like to speak to Captain Insano.
Dude, Vicky Valancourt, oh man, I think everyone had the hospital
well,
her.
To me, I already was already
the craft?
Stiffied up from the craft.
Yeah,
yeah
the craft.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm attracted to crazy. Yeah. I might be a little bit attracted to crazy. I might like crazy. That might be my thing.
A little bit.
Dude, when she has that sign, want me to kill them?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, that's the first time I ever had a boner in my life.
Well, her eyes are nuts.
Yeah. She's crazy
that's
eyes.
That's like,
yeah,
whoa.
Beautiful eyes, huh?
What is, okay, so facial features on a woman.
I'll give a facial any day.
did you say give or did you get
facial on anybody? Yeah, any. No, but what is, eyes, teeth, like the smile, the nose, what is it? Like, what's the thing that you, is like the big one? What's the first one?
For me, it would be eyes and smile.
Smile's mine.
Yeah.
Smile. It's always smile.
And I have a thing with like jawlines for girls. I don't know why. It's just I have a thing for it.
So you might be gay.
Wait, I might
you
be
like
gay.
A strong masculine
you
jawline.
Clarify more. Yeah, you
like
a defined
just
jawline.
Just the way that, like, it can't be like round. I like a little bit of, you know.
Like a point.
Straight. Just a little bit.
Like a Brad Pitt.
Okay. You're so close, dude.
Right here. Right here, you know? Yeah. Just right here. Not like, you know, I don't know what it is. There's a couple actresses who, I'll have to look them up. But
Julia Roberts got a pointy chin.
Not pointy.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Just straight right here, you know?
Jennifer Lawrence has a wide, I would argue.
Yeah.
Like Kat Dennings? Kat Dennings is hot.
Oh, dude, Kat Dennings.
The rating scale goes from Julia Stiles to Jennifer Love Hewitt as far as pointy.
Kat Dennings is a great example, Mick. Good example.
But do we like her face?
She's got very defined jawline.
She's got a little bit weird of eyes. But
that's also, you know what's weird about this is this gets into a whole different argument about body stuff that we shouldn't be discussing as men on the men on the internet. But
you know what? Scarlett
but
Johansson
Kat Dennings,
too,
right?
You
know? So she's like a little bit of like the
like that. You see how that's
you see there's a point. There's I mean the words are to use are pointy versus wide. Yeah, I mean it's just
you know what I'm saying?
You know?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
But
instead of like a round.
But let's say, okay, so pull up Kat Dennings, right?
Right.
Kat Dennings,
dude,
the thing is she also has a pointy chin. It's not necessarily wide, but she's like a bigger body type, I guess. I don't want to say bigger.
You're not wrong.
I don't even want to say bigger because she's not big, but she has a different body type. At least the version of her that I'm remembering. I know she lost a lot of weight.
She's got some
there's like big,
bitties.
But then there's like thick where she's like naturally
yes, body types,
looks,
like literally, like the reason, like you know, like we're all different body types. You know what I mean? We're not the same exact shape.
You guys have big dicks. I have a little one. It is what it is. Don't shame me.
Thank you for doing that for me. Yeah. I appreciate you for including me with them. That was great of you.
Like,
what a sweet guy. I like this guy a lot.
It's not true, but thank you for saying it.
That was so nice. This might have been the nicest thing anybody's done for me this week.
Okay, he can come back.
Are we ready? Are we already going?
Have you been getting all of our racism?
The timer's not going, so I'm assuming.
No, we're not. The timer is only
going
to put on sometimes.
Oh, it's going now.
Dude, he's trying to get us canceled. All the shit we're saying.
Yeah. We're probably going to be canceled at one point. Episode 100, they're going to go back and listen to some shit. And they're going to be like, what the fuck are these guys doing?
Or you could just be on that Ronnie Radke level where they can't cancel them.
Just to start things off on the good, the positivity of you, episode 100. You know?
I think we'll make it there.
Oh, fuck me,
what
right?
is this, like 34?
I'm like, just over 34. Here like, okay. Now fuck you guys.
I don't cheers people who drink high noon. This is not you. That's my personal thing.
It fights the chlamydia.
Oh yeah, is that true? I've heard that. Science. Is that true?
What's that?
Who, Stephen Hawking did it. Why do you think he was who he is?
Who's that we're bumping?
Who's that?
Don't worry about it.
Spirit Box?
Ooh, I haven't listened to their new album yet.
It's the Stole Anthem, dude.
Oh, it is. It's AI music.
That's AI music?
It's the Stole Anthem. Yeah, it's our the Stole podcast music.
That's crazy.
Made specifically by AI.
That's crazy.
Should I be saying that? I mean, never mind. Me and Mick wrote this.
I have it.
We're good
armed
musicians.
Up to send to the right. Instagram. I have like this thing that I wanted to show him. I completely forgot about it.
All right, let's get on me real quick, Mick. Let's do a little intro here.
If we's running, we's running.
Hey, welcome to the Stool Podcast, numbers 34, 35, something like that. Appreciate y'all listening and coming through.
Start that over. Cut out 34, 35. It's 34.
Is it 34?
It's 34.
I swear it's 35. Is it 34 for sure?
YouTube it.
Mick would know.
Mick don't know. I should know.
That's a weird thing to do, to not know.
It is.
And you're ready for the intro, 34. Johnny? It's
34.
It's 34.
Welcome
dude.
To the Stool Podcast. We're on episode 34. We got a very special guest today, guys. Hey, check it out. Give it up to Mr. Jacob from Velveteen. There he Oh, he fell asleep already. I thought he fell asleep.
This is my impersonation of a hot dog.
Oh. Yeah.
We got Jacob in studio today. A lot of guys might know him.
Name that movie.
But most of you won't for sure because I don't know who he is. But we're going to find out who he is today.
Yes, you do, asshole.
And to my right, we got Anthony.
What's up, buddies?
And then we got Mick on the boards today.
Oh, what's up, guys? What's up?
Check. Check. Mike, check. Chili cheese, check. Cheddar cheese, check.
Cheddar cheese sounds so good every time somebody says
cheddar cheese. Oh, you know what I discovered? Is Winco, they get locally farmed cheeses that they cut and prepare every day. So if you want to go to Winco with like the fresh deli, they're getting fresh
local
ass cheese.
Yeah.
Local ass cheese. Yeah. I am addicted. I'm getting
the best. Huh?
When I go shopping, I'll get a block of pepper jack, I'll get a block of Monterey Jack, and I'll get a block of cheddar.
Okay.
Sharp.
I got it. First on the ducket, favorite cheese, Anthony, go.
Sharp cheddar. Sharp I'm a cheddar. Sucker for the basic bitch shit right there. I mean, it just hits so hard and it melts well. It what toasts are the, well.
There you go.
I mean, mozzarella in its purest form is going to be a close second, but it's just too clean. I like the guilt of cheese that it's like one of the worst things that you could eat naturally, you know?
Top two. That's your top two. Okay. Mine, Munster cheese melts well, dude. And a grilled cheese, cheese.
Colby Jack and grilled cheese is the best.
Colby Jack is good, but Munster it melts so good. And the other one is Cotija cheese. This guy knows what I'm talking about. Jacob?
Dick cheese. Best cheese. You haven't showered in a few days. You're not circumcised.
You have to savor the little amount you get. That's honestly, why. You savor the little bit you get.
You know how you know when it's ready? It's when you're wearing gym shorts and you sit down and that gust of wind just fucking hits you. And you're like, oh yeah. We're ripe and ready.
It's like scraping off some brie.
Exactly. I'm going to put it on one of the charcuterie boards. That was a mouthful.
Charcuterie. Yeah, it puts a whole new spin on charcuterie. Charcuterie. Yeah.
Is it because it's coming from the male? It's coming from the male.
I get it. That's pretty good.
Oh, so you couldn't even have a charcuterie board. Yeah. Oh.
Obama.
So, okay.
Dick cheese. What is Mix? What's your favorite?
Probably the Baby Bell cheese, dude.
Oh,
those are good. What is that? That's cheddar, no?
Huh?
Is the Baby Bell's cheddar?
It's
what is it?
It's like
it's mozzarella, right? I always thought it was mozzarella.
Is it mozzarella?
I want to say it's mozzarella.
I thought it was like provolone. I'm pretty sure.
You might be right. I honestly personally don't. I'll look it up.
Hey, Siri, I don't think it's either of those. I think it's cheddar.
The kind of cheese that Baby Bell cheese is. Is that the way you asked that question?
I don't.
Dude, this is why Skynet comes. Could we just depend on that?
We should know this shit. Win. Somebody get me an encyclopedia.
It's called Edam cheese. Oh, yeah. Also mozzarella, white cheddar, and Gouda varieties. So it depends, I guess. It
depends on the Baby Bell. Yeah, there is red ones and there is blue ones.
Yeah.
And a white one.
Different ones.
There is different ones. Nice.
So I love a Baby Bell cheese, even though it feels super wasteful with the, like, the wax thing.
There's so much fucking wasteful shit on there. It doesn't make any sense, but it's good.
I always tripped out on how popular Keurig got in a time where we were trying to like not litter. And it's like, okay, so like every cup of coffee is going to use more plastic. I was like, why is this popular?
The thing was that we got upset about them taking away our plastic straws and giving us paper ones. So we said, fuck it. We're doing a little plastic cup so you got to throw away after every
I had a weird unpopular twist on this whole thing when that all went down, get rid of straws or whatever. People thought it was like insensitive or stupid, but I think it was honestly super valid. My only thing about that is fuck turtles. What? Like, who cares about fucking turtles? Like, I don't give a fuck about turtles.
Turtles are fucking cool, dude. You just gave me a whole spiel about finding all the freaking Ninja Turtles at Ross today. And you don't care about turtles?
So you're going to tell me you want turtles to do better than humans?
Well, how does that make sense? It's about the ocean.
If there's things we could throw in their way, why not?
Slow them down. They're going to catch up to us in the food chain.
They're going to beat us.
They do live longer than us.
Yeah, they already got that going for them. Mm-hmm. They know karate. I know this Wakanda. From factual archival information I've read throughout my life.
Right.
Comic books and television shows.
They do have a
they wear masks. They are vigilantes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're bad for society.
I heard they're racist.
I mean,
I've heard slurs from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Yeah, several kinds of turtles, especially the ninja ones.
They're pretty violent, aren't they, in the comic books?
Dude, what are they doing?
Yeah, they're super violent. They actually, yeah, I'm with you now. Fuck those turtles.
Yeah.
Not Ninja Turtles, but...
Have we
intro
the show?
Yeah, I did.
My peni is small, so when it shrinks in, it looks like a turtleneck. So I'm just jealous.
I hate when that happens.
I'm jealous that they're able to come out and get bigger.
Yeah.
I don't. I didn't notice what this looked like and I regret pouring it into a cup.
Did you get the White Russian?
Yes. I regret pouring it into a cup.
I would have preferred to sip it from a can and not ever have visual contact with the…
It's like, is this horse cum from Fear Factor? What the fuck?
Cut to Joe Rogan saying, "Dear semen."
Yeah, but
I just got my stepson into watching Fear Factor. So now we just watch Fear Factor.
Yeah, that's a good
It's a fun show.
It is a fun show to watch.
I mean, it's hard to not enjoy.
But you know what's the thing is, I was watching it again and we're in the early 2000s. Were we really that cringe? Like the way they would talk to the camera.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed so fake, but then I'm like, fuck.
There was a whole period of time where people were not good at recording themselves. We are all culture to it. I'm still not very good at it. I feel uncomfortable and I think it's awkward to record yourself, especially in public.
Right.
Oh,
we'll circle back real quick. I think there's an awkwardness to it. Now people have become more natural with like having a camera around them and knowing how to like act on a camera.
Right, right, right.
And I'd say that's still cringe in a lot of formats. But you know, back in the day, people didn't even know how to react. A camera would come around that's recording and is like, "Hey, I got you on camera." Oh,
you on camera, bitch.
Hey, Maggie. Hey, come look at this. This guy's got a lot and everything. Look at that. You don't know how to respond to a fucking camera.
And it's so weird because I've talked about this a lot with people that I work with lately. And the thing that this newer generation has up on us when they know how to advertise comfortably I see kids doing TikTok videos in the middle of the mall. They don't care that
about
everyone is around.
Thing.
Like
yeah.
me, so like weird. Our generation, like me. I hate recording myself by myself in a room where I know no one's home, but I still feel weird recording myself.
Right? Yeah.
But like they're able to do it with the whole world watching. I'm like, dude, like, first of all, fuck you, but I envy you because I can't do that because they just my
That's
bones,
a weird thing
I can't
with confidence, man. Yeah. Is like you are both jealous of it but judgmental.
Is it
of
confidence
it at the same
or
time?
They just don't have shame?
It's anymore. Cocksuredness.
I think it's no shame.
I think there's literally that's why we have that term cocksuredness.
I've never heard that term.
Never heard that term?
No.
Does that mean I like it?
Let's do our Anthony's daily vocabulary lesson.
Shit.
But yeah, cocksuredness is basically a term for...
It's like a, that's it's a slang hyper, word, right?
It's actually probably in the Webster's dictionary.
I mean, yeah,
it's like a level of extra confidence. It's like completely unfluttered confidence. Mm-hmm. And like that to me is like a thing that I really resent a lot because I am an insecure person. I'm an insecure being, and everything I threw out there in my entire career, even if I was confident in it, I left it with like an air of like humble, you know, like where I'm just like, hey guys, I hope you enjoy this. Instead of being like, I just put out the best fucking track in the world. Like for example, an artist like Kanye or these dudes, fucking DJ Khaled, we the best music. Literally, it's a brainwashing tactic to talk like that about your shit.
This newer generation, is it confidence or they just don't care? Because confidence is they're more like, retarded. I know my shit is good. I don't care as much.
I don't care if it's good or bad.
I think they just don't care. Yeah. So it's not really confidence.
Well, it's not even more ignorance than not caring.
Yeah, okay, I could, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, no more ignorance of not knowing what good shit is. Being surrounded and insulated by the cookie cutter music, which I need to send that clip to the fucking Instagram feed in the podcast. But there's this whole formula now this guy lays out about how music is being recycled over and over and again, and it's killing creativity in the next generations. And that's the detrimental shit that I've been talking about for the longest time, where it's like, if we literally just try to filter these things through this, you know, kind of mainstream popularity demographic that we're trying to attach to as many people as possible, as opposed to attaching to the eclectic audience that we kind of deserve that would really support what we do and love at a really non-shallow level what we do. Then, you know, how would we, you know, like what other recourse would we have than to be more artistic and more unique? And but now we're serializing each other. We're becoming more cookie cutter, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I think the thing is how you were saying we're just recycling now. And a thought that I've had a lot.
I'll send that if you want to pull it up, Nick, I'll send it right now. Sorry, go ahead.
A thought that I've had a lot is, so when they're recycling now, they're just doing blatant ripoffs. Like they'll take that Eazy-E beat and just rap their own shit over.
Right.
Not even trying to change
it. That is a wild, it's like the same thing with movies. We're rebooting the old ideas.
Rebooting
like,
everything.
Why are we, that feels like the dark ages to me. Like we need a renaissance where it's like people are coming up with new art. Stuff that's going to push our brain in a new direction. And the people that are doing that, because I'm not saying it's absent completely from the scene. They're just floundering. Because if you don't play that game, if you don't buy ads, if you don't go with the Spotify algorithms and you don't go with the Instagram advertisement algorithms, then you go nowhere. Mm-hmm. And the control has been completely co-opted from the talent and the amazing uniquity of artists to gatekeeping by people who have the money to just, hey, like, well, we're the distributors. Yet again, that was what the whole power of this whole fucking thing was, is that, oh yeah, you could just make your stuff on the internet and then we were all complaining about, oh yeah, back in the day, album record companies and labels and stuff, they take money from these artists and they capitalize and they use the artists and they take most of the money. And like we were complaining about that. And then we just did it again. Mm-hmm. We did that all over again with a new kind of industry, a new kind of distribution industry. Well, it's wild.
One thing also is like,
ooh, sorry.
I'm so glad it was that and not porn.
This was very aimed, okay? So,
but one thing I think is keeping people from being artistic is that they're scared of what can happen, the consequences. Yeah. Because here's the thing. When hip-hop first came out, they were taking from old funk and just making their own shit with it. And at first it was cool because there wasn't copyright.
It was actual like DJing.
The thing is there was.
But they weren't strict.
But the angle on it was that literally even the artists at the time were like, oh, somebody made our song even cooler by using, we were influential in this way. Now the way it's done.
It's all money. Now.
It's all money. And it's literally this whole thing where you have these people that even the older artists are like, well, if you think if this hook is popular enough, like a good example that I always like to use is a band called Fastball. They had a song called Was I Out of My Head? Was I Out of My Mind? How could I have ever been so blind?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And so, you know, that was a recycled hook that got used again, right?
Oh.
But they're a band that was in a catalog of musicians that literally by committee, a bunch of people at this record label were like, hey, these are the hooks that we think that hypnotize people. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole list of bands like from the 90s and the 80s. So we're going to just license this music and we're going to allow other new artists to re-release these hooks, you know, with new lyrics and things like that.
Yeah, they get royalties
Fastball will get royalties. So they, you know, they get money. So there's an advantage there for them. But at the same time, it's like, dude, we've completely bastardized the system by like, oh yeah, we're just, we have a pool. It's like, do you guys remember the episode of South Park where they make fun of Family Guy joke, you know? Where it's like a bunch of whales or whatever, like choosing balls and like, it's like literally, it's like, that's not art to me.
Yeah.
That's not art. It's not, it's like
not creating your own art.
Yeah. It's a bastardized version where you've studied the psychology of music and what really tweaks people's heads into wanting to sing around each other. And
it's reboots.
Yeah, I think the thing is people that they're not making things their own anymore because essentially everything is ripping off Clapton. Yeah. Everything he did, he's ripping off old blues guitarists.
Yeah.
Same thing, Jimmy Page.
But okay, so here's where it gets nebulous. Where's the ripping off versus like the adapting it for more palatability?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I say ripping off, it's not like in a negative connotation. It's more of, I like this certain aspect of this artist, like these licks they were doing. I'm going to take it, but I'm going to add all these other influences around it. They were able to make it their own. This newer generation, they don't want to make it their own. They just blatantly rip off an entire
beat.
They
want the success without the sacrifice of the artistic… endeavor that they have to go, the journey you have to do to make solely cool art, which to me is like, I don't understand how people look at that process and don't, you know, lament that missing element of it. Because like I said, there are artists doing out there suffering to make a good new song that's like really built from this place of like, you know, but a lot of the time, no, it's like, you know, we have a good artist who makes us money. And then we have a good songwriter and some other producers and they have already put this track together. All we need them is them to sing on it, have them sing whatever lyrics we pay them to sing. And then boom, we got a new hit single. That's not fucking art, dude. Mm-hmm. It's not. It'll never be art. Maybe it's entertainment and I have to acknowledge that. I have to, you know, look at that, brush it off. Yeah, maybe people just don't want art. They just want entertainment. But I would say that's something that's contributing to people's lack of creativity and uniquity and… Yeah. And ability to understand.
So the what you're saying is, why is the new Professor Snape black? I get what you're saying.
What,
about
what?
That. The new Professor Snape from Harry Potter series? He's going to be a black guy.
You
guys didn't know that?
You're lying.
Wait.
I thought I was saying something everybody knew.
I'm just confused on how that connection was made.
Because you're saying
I'm going for the ride.
Okay. We're talking about reboots and remakes too.
Right.
We were first talking about movies. That's why. I thought it would be funny. My bad.
I don't have my bad.
Why don't you bring back that joke from the last episode?
I'm about to one-up you in distastefulness because I was going to say, it's like, I don't mind a black Professor Snape because then it just completely explains why Lily Potter chose, you know, didn't choose him.
You're a piece of garbage.
No, honestly, it's actually a counterproductive joke because… She might have chosen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. DJ, kick it! Oh, damn. We didn't have that ready.
All right. Hey, Jacob.
What's up?
Tell us a little bit about yourself. We didn't get to that part.
We were just…
I only know very… Time. I know very little bit about
it
you.
It is little.
You know? No, not…
He knows about your little bit. I mean, he knows a little bit about you.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, tell the people who you are, what you do. Your band is called Velveteen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, talk about it.
So I like long walks on the beach.
Okay.
Occasional finger massaging the prostate. Okay. Never hurt nobody.
No, never did.
But no, I'm Jacob Jimenez. I am a 30-year-old Virgo. I don't know if I'm a Virgo. I just said that. I don't.
He means virgin, guys.
Yes.
Wait. What's the difference?
Yeah,
that's the same thing, right?
Virgo. I tell people I'm a Virgo all the time. I don't understand.
I don't know. My birthday is in August.
This might be a great awakening for me right now. I need to know the definition.
going back to whatchamacallit, movie quotes. My mama always said I was a Virgo.
Oh. Told you, quotable. There's certain movies that are just hella quotable.
I think Waterboy is the most quotable movie.
It's pretty good. It's hard up there, dude. It's up in the top five for sure.
It's one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies for sure. But yeah, go ahead.
So I have a band called Velveteen.
Okay.
We are from Artesia, California. It's right there on the southeast LA by like Norwalk, Compton, Long Beach, Paramount, all that little area over there.
Yep.
That
place is hype.
So yeah, I really didn't grow up in the music. I didn't get involved in the music scene really until I was in college.
Oh, okay.
Because where I lived in that part of Artesia, there wasn't a lot of music going on.
Say that again. What? I mean, I just like how you say it.
Artesia?
Oh my goodness. It's like butter for your ears. Right? You know, it's that lubricant. Accent. The audio lubricant. Oh, this man.
Hawk-tua. But
Trump, he's right here.
I mean, God bless America.
He loses the hat on purpose.
But yeah, there wasn't much of a music scene down there. So when I got into college and I found out about the music scene, I had to go find it in like South Central and East LA. So I started going to backyard shows down there.
Nice.
You guys heard of Fiddlar?
Fiddlar's Green?
Fiddlar's like a skate punk band from LA, but they're like one of like the bigger, you know, underground bands.
Uh-huh.
They're amazing. And I saw them when they used to play backyards in like South Central, East LA.
Give us a time frame, like the years.
2011, 2012.
Okay.
Okay.
So actually funny story about Fiddlar. I think was it last year, maybe 2 years ago? You know Oliver Tree? He was big on TikTok.
Yeah, I know Oliver Tree. Yeah
so for some reason they decided cool to have music. Fiddlar go on tour with Oliver Tree and have them be the opening band.
Yeah, these guys love that guy.
Yeah. Fiddlar is they're like the party animal crowd. It's all skate punks. All these kids, we all have issues. All we do is fucking drink and fight. So it's funny. I get over to this show with my old lady, and you see a bunch of people there that you clearly are all like the TikTok crowd. They're all dressed up, all nice, and we're taking pictures. And then you can tell the Fiddlar crowd: torn shirts, Doc Martens, fucking sweaty ass hat, missing teeth. So you can tell the Fiddlar crowd. Yeah. So Fiddlar's opening, and we make our way to the front. And the pit starts going. And as soon as the first song comes on, the pit starts going. In the front is all of the Oliver Tree crowd. And then, you know, they're trying to be up there. They're trying to get the best picture.
Yeah.
They don't know what Fiddlar is.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they just feel the pit hitting them in the back. The pit's getting bigger and bigger. And
Do I get to predict that they join in?
Fuck no.
Damn it.
These people, they're turning around and they're getting pissed at the pit.
Stop bumping into me.
And the pit starts going. All of a sudden, they have a song called Cheap Beer. They play that song.
Mm-hmm.
You see beers flying everywhere in the fucking air. Everyone's just throwing their fucking beers in the air.
Nice.
It's just raining PBR. And these people are getting fucking pissed because they're just getting bumped into. They look all nice and whatever. And then the crowd surfing starts. So you got people crowd surfing. By the end of the Fiddlar set, there was no more Oliver Tree fans in the front.
You guys shoot them away? That rules. Did you guys get to be up front for Oliver Tree?
After Fiddlar played, me and my lady, we were like, we don't fucking care. We went to the back. We don't fucking care. Dude,
that is the punchline of the whole story, my friend.
All the Fiddlar crowd went to the back or left after Fiddlar played. Like, we don't care about Oliver Tree. Like,
that's such a random, like
it's such a random lineup.
Was there any other bands?
They had a rapper as like the main, like beginning opener, but it was them, Fiddlar, and then Oliver Tree. But then it was like Oliver Tree. Then you had a lot of their fans were also kids, young. So then you saw a bunch of kids on their parents' shoulders. I'm like, you saw like I think it was like a 12 or 13 year old kid crowd surfing during Fiddlar. And you see him, he's a Fiddlar fan. He's got a Fiddlar beanie. You see him crowd
real
surfing.
Real quick aside. How does that make you feel? Because to me, I have a very distinct feeling about that. A lot of people are discouraging towards, but I am so excited when I see a young kid at a show, whether they're moshing and everyone, because everyone's usually, people get scared about the idea, like, oh, you don't want to hurt a kid or whatever. No, it's like most of the time, if you see a kid in the, And like people were like, oh yeah, put him up to crowd surf or whatever. Everyone's very like kind and very accommodating, and they get him back to his parents and stuff. I think that's like literally how diehard music fans are born.
I love it. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing about when you have rock fans versus like mainstream hip hop or top 40 fans. Those fans, they don't care about anyone else around them. Rock fans, we look out for each other.
Yeah, that's true.
If there's a kid, everyone's like, make room for the kid.
Yeah. Right.
You know, my dad, he used to take me to fucking Ozfest when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And like my dad would just take me in the pit, and like nobody ever fucked, like nobody ever tried to get in a fight or shove my dad because they see he has a kid.
Right.
Everyone respects that you have your kid.
So your dad used you as a tool.
I was a human shield. my dad is 5'5". He's like, I need to bring this little kid with me. Come on, fucks with me.
He's like the Key and Peele sketch. You're on his chest. Yeah. You're like, I have immunity.
Hey, he did that to me last week, and I'm taller than him. So my feet are just dragging. No, but it's like
some, I mean, picturing you in the tandem bag.
Exactly.
Tandem belly bag. You said your dad was what, 5'5"?
Yeah.
Yeah, him carrying you like, and then it's like, get out of our way.
I'm 5'10, so you just see my toes dragging.
That's good. I love that.
So it's like, you know, and then also now that I have my own kid, I have a daughter, I want to take her to fucking shows.
Yeah.
I went to Aftershock 3 years ago.
Nice.
And A Day to Remember's playing, and I'm up in the front. I took a video. This guy
now, Johnny, what would you classify that as? That girl music?
What? Woo-hoo?
A Day to Remember?
Yay.
Okay. Go ahead, though.
Well, I'm not big on them, but the thing was, they were the headliner of the day. So I was going to be over there.
Yeah.
So this guy, he's in the middle of the pit, and he's got his daughter. She's probably like 5 years old on his shoulder.
Shit.
But everybody around him is like, everyone's puts their arm
out of here. We know, we respect everyone, the fucking boundary.
And like they had like inflatable beach balls, inflatable bananas going on. And the daughter's having the time of her life.
Right.
Dude. She's like, every time she's able to grab a beach ball.
That's not inappropriate. That's, inflatable bananas? That's crossing the line.
It was like an inflatable banana, but it was like Rasta. So I had like a face on it, had like dreads on it.
But if you if you get the inflatable banana and then get two beach balls and put them
on
the
side. That's what I'm saying. Like, who knows the audience is doing that?
Probably
two or three times the audience is doing that.
Especially A Day to Remember.
There's a drone shot of a Day to Remember show. Where there's three banana beach ball dicks floating around the crowd because everyone's trying to keep them going.
I'm chasing. Like, it's nine. But like this guy, every time she was able to grab one, like she just had the biggest smile on her face.
Yeah,
and then she
tight.
Like throws, because she knows like, oh, she wants to throw it.
That's so good memories, man.
So it's like, I see that. And I'm like, yes, keep bringing your kids to the crowd.
Yeah.
For rock shows, we all respect that.
Yeah.
And we love it. Mm-hmm. My stepson, He likes going to shows. He likes going to my shows.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's just, I love seeing kids at shows.
Me too. Me too.
The scene is going to stay thriving.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, think about it too with like rock and metal and stuff. When we were growing up, somebody fell in the pit. They're instantly getting picked up and like, oh, you good? Somebody's hat falls off. Like, oh, fucking, we got your hat, you know? Like
glasses, cell phones, you find
anything.
Shit, you hold it up
that's,
immediately. That's
the
like
newer
the response.
Because like, I had friends that grew up in the 80s in LA during like when thrash metal first came out.
Well, that's different.
And they're all like, oh, fuck no. If you fell in the pit,
you're getting stomped on. But that was hard. That was hardcore and thrash. That's why.
Yeah. You're in the hood at that time. You're in fucking East LA, South Central.
Okay, to wrap up as
I don't
like
rap it. That's why I had a kid.
But to wrap up as like, okay, see, he's got his wild story for shows. What does that like, you know, beat? Your wild story? Do you have a wilder story?
I do. I mean,
well, that's not my wild story.
No,
that's not the wild story.
I already knew that wasn't.
Really?
That was just
conversation.
We were just tangenting on the fucking, what is it? Tangentize. I'm learning some things from this guy.
Tangentize.
I love it.
I have tangenitals.
Tangenitals.
They are darker than the rest of my body.
Only my left one. The right one, I bleached.
Well,
and that was intentional.
If they pull me over, I'm like, look, it's a white. I don't send me back.
And I say it like that just to kind of really convince
them. It throws them off. I'm like, hey, look at my headshot. Which one do you want to take me back home
for? That's good. That gets me. I don't know why that gets me so hard. But that gets me.
It gets you hard? What?
No, it gets me Yeah, it gets me hard.
No, he's like, no.
I don't take it back. I don't take it back.
Take it from the back.
Tell us your fucking.
You
most
have the craziest,
craziest,
story
wildest story.
I have a.
Either it could be one of your shows. It could be a show you went to. Like we heard some good stuff. That's some good, clean fun.
I have.
But now let's hear something crazy.
I have a few. I might bring these up throughout.
What's the top?
What's,
do you have a
top?
Because I know I definitely have one, but. It's not like a long story or anything, but it's pretty funny.
You want a show story or a tour story?
Either one.
Okay, so an audience member, show story.
So yeah, that's good. Playing at a behind a tire shop in Pomona on Holt.
That's all you had to say. You guys Pomona and Holt? God damn.
Holt, y'all
already
know,
it's the most exciting thing we've talked about today.
So we're playing in Holt. You know, we do our show. There's a good fucking pit. Everyone's going. After we finish playing, I'm over here just watching the merch and my drummer's little brother's there. My drummer's little brother is fucking not little.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. And when he's in the pit…
He's simply younger. He's not little.
Yeah. He's a bodybuilder.
Oh, okay.
So he's fucking… Just fucking… He looks like he's got shoulder pads built on him. But he's the nicest guy, but he just looks like he's got fucking shoulder pads on him.
Intimidator.
Yeah.
He's like a… Yeah.
So… He's in the pit and I guess somebody shoves him while he's going and he knocks into somebody and a fight breaks out. So he's in the middle and he's fucking grabbing motherfuckers. And my drummer, he sees his brother getting in a fight. So he fucking runs in there. Now look, my drummer… Well, he's not my drummer anymore. But my drummer at the time. He's like maybe 5'6", 5'5". His brother's about 5'10". Mm-hmm. I'm like… Gonna do much in that situation. I think he's got it covered. So he runs over there. It looks like a giant tumbleweed of everyone just fucking fighting. Fight gets broken up. Maybe 10 minutes later, another fight breaks out in the alleyway. And all you hear is, he has a gun. He has a gun. And then I'm like, well, fuck me. That's why I start getting all my fucking merch. I'm like, it's time for me to go.
Yeah.
I see my dad run his ass over there because my dad is very supportive of my music.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm all like, you know, when I first started my musical journey, he was always all like, this is a hobby. Don't. Mm-hmm. But once he saw that, like, hey, we're getting crowds, he's very supportive. So he tries to go to as many shows as possible. But my dad runs over there because he thinks I'm over there.
Yeah.
So I'm all like, where the fuck's, you know, I'm getting my merch. And I'm like, hey, where's my fucking dad? He's fucking over there. He thinks you're over there. I fucking run over there because my dad's one of those people where all like he will like jump in front of a knife.
Yeah.
He thinks his son is involved.
Right.
And it turns out the guy didn't have a gun. He had a knife and he was waving it at people because they were jumping his homie. And he's like, I'm going to stab one of you motherfuckers. I grabbed my dad. I'm like, I'm over here. Let's fucking bounce.
Yeah. As far away as possible from this situation.
It's like fight. He has a gun. And then like, no, he has a knife, but someone's about to get stabbed.
Yeah.
So that would probably be the story that stands out the most besides playing a show in Rialto when it got shot up.
It got like drive-by'd. What happened?
They were trying to rob the person in the front for the money.
Oh, okay. Shit.
So it's like I've been to shows.
So somebody was there, you know, and they had a gun. It got fired.
I don't even think it was somebody that was at the show. I think it was just it's Rialto.
Uh-huh.
Probably just some tweaker walked up.
The toe.
They got money in the fucking thing and they tried to rob them. They shot up the show. And I mean, I've been to shows in Compton, South Central, East LA. I've been in places that everyone would consider hood. Never got shot up. There's been fights. Fucking Rialto, though.
The toe.
Rialto is the only place to get shot up.
It's the bottom feeders,
Colton,
dude.
And Rialto, that whole area, there's just this culture of kids that are like from like what I would say like 14 to 19, 20 that their parents don't give a shit. You know, about what they do on a Saturday night. And if they're, especially if they're home and maybe making money for the house, providing free pizza. Yeah, they'll throw a fucking show. They don't give a fuck. We live on farmland.
Dude, that you know, those like,
there's nobody around to fucking complain.
Fucking Pomona, Rialto. That's where the backyard shows were the
they
best.
They popped off,
the best,
I fucking
though.
Love a backyard show.
People jumping off the roofs.
Yes,
and shit.
Dude. I have,
fucking amazing.
I have pictures of like literally like it was like our second show in one of like the bands that I was in that we only had like two singles and you know one EP and that's all we ever did. And yeah, people fucking loved it. Like we didn't have a lot of exposure, but it was just a bunch of people just enjoying a good fucking time at a backyard show.
And like in these areas, there's not a whole lot to do. It's either you're either going to go mm-hmm. to a show or you're banging or you're doing drugs.
Right.
There's not a lot to do compared to if you're like where I'm from in Arbicia.
I was always banging.
And I think I could speak for all of us in saying like, I mean, God bless like all these people really making an effort to provide that like extra outlet, you know, to instead of going to shows, bang and do drugs. You know, like I would love to see more of that. More drugs, more banging, you know, less gang shows, bangs. less shows, you know, so.
More drugs and banging, I'm down.
I agree. Drugs and gang banging. Like my asshole has not been touched in weeks. Please hit me.
I need to get it.
Like, the demand is out there. Dude, we need the supply, all right?
I just had a kid. It feels like I haven't gotten laid in 4 years. What the fuck? Like, honestly, as long as something goes in a hole, I don't even mind if it's in my hole. Just fucking do it.
Yo, wherever it's got to be.
Yeah.
So, Mick. Retouch back up on that Instagram video. I kind of do want to wrap back around to that. Come back around to that. Because I want to see what you guys think about this guy's approach on this opinion here.
Music. All sounds the same. Mm. And is sounding more and more the same each and every day. Mm. A recent paper from the Medical University of Vienna, Austria showed that as hundreds of musical subgenres become more popular, the more generic of their kind they become. Wow. But Viennese nerds are not the only people doing data analysis. So are record company executives using data analytics to find more of the same. Imitators follow the formula. Streaming algorithms suggest even more of the same, rejecting music that falls outside of accepted criteria, making the music more popular, thus making it more generic. And the circle continues.
Stressing me out.
My friends, this is a vicious cycle. It should stress you out. The
goddamn right.
Is eating its own tail.
Goddamn right.
Wait, that's hot.
You can't really see that, but it's a little Drake face.
As the Taylor Ouroboros.
Wait, that's also hot.
I just want to pause here and say that Taylor Swift. I am not ridiculing any specific artists, all right? I do not dislike Taylor Swift. Do not assassinate me. We have reached a crisis point. We are at the verge of musical singularity.
Wait, pause it.
A point of totally Shazam.
Let him finish. Audience. He's almost done. He's almost done.
He sounds like he sounds
where
like
everything sounds perfect and the same forever.
He sounds
there.
He sounds like he sounds like Anthony Jesselnick, dude.
He does.
Dude,
yeah,
his last right? comedy special had me dying. Almost pissed myself.
It's hilarious, man. Even though the guy's a cunt, I think he's fucking a great joke writer. He's hilarious.
He's a great joke writer for sure.
He seems very cunty to me, though.
He is very cunty.
He does seem cunty, but like his jokes. It seems they're so fucking dark, but yeah. Like fucking cool.
He's a good writer,
dude. He has such a monotone way of bringing his jokes.
Let's bring Mick into the forum here a little bit. I really want to hear your thoughts about what he said, bro.
I was zoning out. Sorry.
Fuck.
You didn't even listen.
No, I'm doing shit.
Damn he was working.
What about you?
What did you bring up? Why did you bring that to the podcast? Let's hear it.
I mean, because he really. Very accurately displays what's going on right now. Why we're getting such serialized music?
Why we're getting bullshit?
A good
music.
Way to really play it out.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. I agree with what he's saying. Music has be like how he said a vicious circle. It's literally it's the same thing going over and over and over again, which is true. I mean, we hear the same shit over and over again, you know. And I think that's because it's a lack of creativity and art and actual artistry compared to like. There to like us, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like we're all pretty passionate about when we write something, you know? Like, we're not just doing it for other people. Like, sometimes there might be a little bit of
literally
that.
The reason I think most of us in here would write a song is to like when you show it to someone to be like, oh shit, that's like all we're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, is that affirmation of like, damn, okay, that's cool. Fucking tight.
Yeah.
Literally the only thing that we really, really want as artists. That's what an artist wants.
I think that's the bad thing is that
now…
Is
to connect to other people through their art.
With everything, yeah. Everything's so like oversaturated is that people don't get excited for new shit anymore.
Yeah.
They get excited for like, oh,
they
want to
hear
familiar.
Something that
like
sounds
that.
Like something they've heard already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's the bad… And I think the thing is that as much as the internet helps artists, it's also holding us back. Because before the internet, you know, you were forced to go on tour. You had to earn your name. You had to be unique in order to have your voice heard. Now, if you have money to advertise, people are going to hear you even if you're not good.
Yeah.
Like I just watched that Becoming Led Zeppelin documentary. Did you guys see that?
I didn't see that.
Amazing.
What is that on?
It's in theaters.
Oh, it's on. It's in theaters.
Really?
Yeah. Ah. It's a Plant, Page, and Jones.
Going to see a documentary in the theater seems like a really fun thing to do.
I want
to
try
in IMAX. Zeppelin.
Oh, what? Oh, dude, it's that seems better. So. Dude, is there live concert footage and stuff?
Dude, they have their first concert.
And the thing is, that seems like a really good time. I'm gonna look this up.
The thing is, like, it's footage that you've seen on YouTube, but you never pay attention to it. Yeah. And then you're in their perspective, like, that was their first show ever. They weren't even Led Zeppelin yet. Because when the first show they played, it was because, you know, Jimmy Page came out of the Yardbirds.
Becoming Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, becoming Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page came out of the Yardbirds. Yardbirds disbanded.
Bro, it's showing right here at the Regal. Tomorrow at 4:20, and tomorrow I'm off. I have nothing to do.
You should watch it.
I probably
won't. Honestly, hey, and I'm probably going to get high as fuck before you watch it.
Who you talking to?
But honestly, it's like, so the Yardbirds, you know, that was Jimmy Page, they disbanded. Jimmy Page had all these ideas of things that he wanted, and he had no band. So he got these guys together, made these songs that became Led Zeppelin. And their first show was under the new Yardbirds. They weren't even Zeppelin.
They weren't Zeppelin, yeah.
And it's just so cool because you're seeing people's reactions. They're covering their ears. They've never heard nothing like this has ever happened.
God bless that sentiment, man.
Dude, it's like
the idea of challenging people. Like, I mean, the best example I have in my listening journey is Under Oath Define the Great Line versus They're Only Chasing Safety. Well, honestly, even listening to They're Only Chasing Safety, I heard this band being advertised and I was like, I got to try to get them. I got to try to understand them. I heard the singles, the music video, and I was like, oh yeah, it's actually pretty cool. Up against the wall, catchy enough. Then I heard Young and Aspiring and I was like, oh, that's way more my speed. I fucking love that. That's really good. And I listened to that whole fucking record and I really enjoyed it. And that kind of curved my tastes. And then they came out with Define the Great Line. And everything I heard from that, from front to back, right off the bat, I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't enjoy it. I'm going to be honest. 100%. Yeah. I'm like, I need to get this. I need to understand why other people get this. And that's, like I said, this is like the best example of this pushing your own brain to really understand something else. Literally, I think that's a good example for it. You know, but I don't know. To me, I think that Define the Great Line is the better of the two records now. As a music listener, as like you hear like the differences in the writing and you're like, oh shit, like this is way more solid lyrically, instrumentally, like there's more thought put into it. There's more time put into it. And it took me a longer time to get it. And that is completely absent from the listening experience these days, I would say.
I think the last time I had that experience was, you guys ever heard of Royal Blood?
Yeah.
So when the first album came out, It fucking hits you in the face. Like, what the fuck is this? Their third album comes out. And I'm just all like, the first time I listened to it, I'm just like, I don't know.
It didn't hit the same.
It didn't hit the same. But then once I kept on listening to it, it's like, I understood. Like, oh, they don't want to remake the same album over and over. Right. They're trying. They want to try new things.
Yeah.
And people are scared.
Literally the most unselfish thing an artist can do.
Yeah.
Is try to push the boundary of their listeners' potential to listen. You know, because there's such a gamble there because they could flop, dude. And a lot of time that does happen. The same thing with movies where like a movie is like not a financial success or commercial success, but it becomes a cult classic.
Donnie Darko. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And these things become very elemental in what we look at as memorable and time standing art. Like they stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. And that's way more important than movies that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, I mean, I haven't seen the new, the Captain America, Red Hulk movie, whatever that is.
They made another one?
Yeah.
It's like the Falcon, but he's Captain America.
Now. He's a black Captain America.
I knew you were going to say it.
African Captain.
I'm surprised you didn't just say blacked in America.
No, Captain African America.
That's good.
Pound me.
We're gonna save that as a drop, dude. Pound me. I think that the commercialization of things, it starts to really come up to the surface, you know.
But the thing is, when it's not commercial in the beginning, people pound on it. Because going back to that Zeppelin documentary, their first album, the critics fucking ridiculed the shit out. They threw it in the fucking mud.
But and it was still one of the biggest rock bands.
It was the youth
ever
that was like, no, this album speaks to us. The critics don't know shit. And now Zeppelin 1 is fucking gold, dude. Yeah. Like that's like one of the it's a turning point in music history.
Yeah. Now, okay, so here's something I like to really question about this, because people like to make the argument that the same thing is happening now and just old people, and being old makes you not get the movement, right? Okay. A lot of people try to just make that argument. You're too old to get what's going on right now.
Yeah.
But I like to basically place the argument in a different dichotomy where it's like, what's the value it's providing artistically or like culturally? Mm-hmm. And I think I still win that argument in the sense that you look up fucking Doja Cat songs and like the artistic value they add versus
She makes my asshole wet. So that's pretty artistic.
Damn it, you've completely made my entire argument moot.
Bamboozled.
But no, like the value at the end of the day of like how you push people to think and create new, better art. I think she is like subverting people to a mindset that's less conducive to making more art versus people like Led Zeppelin or the types of artists that challenge you to try to get a new genre or new style.
Right.
I mean, I think a band that you see that's mainstream now is like Bring Me the Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So when they left their hardcore roots, because I remember
that's a great desert island band. I stick by that. You have all of Bring Me the Horizon's catalog on a fucking desert island.
You got a little bit of everything.
You got a little bit of everything.
You do. And pretty it's like, sick. You know, 2000, when they first came out, it's fucking metalcore.
Yeah, remember, dude, there's the times you're going to be building your hut. You want to listen to some fucking blast beats and shit.
Yep.
And then there's the time where you're chilling by the beach. You want to hear some fucking cool melodic shit.
And that seems like people hate, like when Ammo came out, people hated it. I love it because as an artist, you see, dude, they're trying so many different things and you appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. God bless just trying to write music.
But people started disliking them from the time they put out Sempiternal because it wasn't that metalcore anymore.
That's where
people went mainstream.
No.
That's when people started because Jordan made it mainstream.
No, I would say… No, I think people were still hanging in there for Sempiternal. Even though, you know, like… what's the one with the chant at the beginning of it?
You can tell from the look in her eyes. That's Shadow Moses.
No, that's that. No. The other one is…
What
is it?
Spirit. Let's hear it. That's on the next album.
Okay, so that's where I would say is where people started losing them.
I think it's because, you know, when Jordan Fish first came in on Sempiternal, they were still kind of their old selves and Jordan Fish was starting to take over the producing. And then in that album, Jordan Fish and Ollie were just like locked in and it became a completely
new thing.
They
were writing and that's but they didn't write anything bad, I would argue.
Those albums
are
amazing.
That's why they caught on.
It's kind of like, you know, people, they don't want to hear new shit. They want to hear what they want to hear. Like AC/DC plays the same album over and over.
That's actually such a weird thing to touch on because I would love to… the way you say people want to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
But also there's this element of taste making.
Mm-hmm.
Where the people who we want to hear stuff from decide for us what the new sound is going to be.
Yeah.
Ollie Sykes is one of those individuals that I would argue, honestly, and I hate the fuck out of him, but I would also argue with his like level of, kind of prominence in the scene. The guy from Escape the Fate.
Ronnie Radke.
He's also another taste maker. People love listening to what he does for whatever reason. And to me, like me and Johnny are probably, that's one thing that we unify on for sure is that we're like, I fucking hate that guy and his whole persona. I hate him. But he, for some reason, people gravitate towards what he does. They don't care. They just like it.
Yeah.
So that's the weird thing is where you say it's like, oh yeah, we're going to like what we're going to like. But when there's a bunch of people that are like literally kind of designed as the tastemakers, we're also going to be subject to listening to what they create. And then, I like that a little bit.
Who's going to bring these new tastes to these people?
Nobody. With the current shit, that's my argument
with
entirely.
The current artists, there's nobody that… nobody, but there's…
No. I'm saying there's artists out there doing it, but with the current system available… The exposure is not there.
Yeah,
it's like
true.
There's this. Have you guys heard of The Plot and You?
Yeah, I love The Plot.
They're fucking amazing. Landon Tour is a singer.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about his solo stuff, and I'm like, dude, it's fucking
He's
amazing.
A brilliant songwriter.
His mind is
and he,
amazing.
And he subs out songs to other bands, and yeah. he writes for other bands. He's a brilliant songwriter. Literally, the thing that's asked backwards to me, and it, maybe this is an oversimplification,
yeah,
but it's not fuck, I'm going to forget the word. Damn it, I hate when I forget a word.
That's why you got to just simplify your vocabulary,
it's
dude.
It's not…
That's what I do. That's why I don't know big words.
We don't reward people for merit. Meritocracy. Ha! Ah, it's not a meritocracy. We don't exist in a meritocracy. Landon Tours and a lot of other people that you don't know their names, they're… Hey, could I get one of those… one of the White Russians? Yeah, but yeah, it's not a meritocracy.
Yeah, if you don't mind. It's supposed to be Mick's job, but…
So people don't reward us. He's busy,
you got a break today. You got a break today, Mick.
He's busy as shit.
There's no more White Russian? Give me that one.
Give him that and I'll take the tiki.
I appreciate that,
but,
Jacob.
But yeah, it's not a meritocracy in the sense that when you think about songwriting and songs and the thing that should be important when it comes to writing music and what we value, yeah, we should be, you know, putting up on a pedestal the best songwriters. And there's a lot of good songwriters that they have to fight through all of this commercial bullshit to even just make a stupid little name for themselves and their own stupid little small fan base. And I'm not trying to insult that or anything. It's still, you know, modestly, you know, impressive, provides them their lifestyle and everything, pays for their shit. But isn't that fucking ass backwards?
I think that's why people
that's crazy
are so,
to me.
And I understand country artists being
when the,
annoyed
some
about
of the
Beyonce.
Most successful artists that we know don't write their own songs is crazy.
Like, yeah.
That like what I was saying with Beyonce.
She you see how much country. Writers were?
She's a country artist
she
now.
She won fucking
Let's talk
country.
About this shit.
And
fuck.
I'm just all like, and I understand what people are talking about. A lot of country artists write their own shit.
They do. They're all music. Most of them are musicians.
Yeah. And that's why, as everyone always says, oh, I like everything but country. As a musician, I appreciate the artistry.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I listen to the instruments. That. I'm like, dude, you guys don't like country. And also, being Mexican, I like rancheras. I grew up on, yeah. on rancheras.
Yeah.
Country music is the same
Trumpy's
exact thing.
Right here, guys. We got him.
Country music's the same thing. You're talking about your car, the person you love, and drinking.
Yeah.
They're the same thing.
Same shit.
You cannot… I always tell you cannot be Latino loving rancheras and hate country music.
Yeah, you can't.
Because it's the same exact
Not
thing.
Not going to work.
You're talking about cheating on your wife. But yeah, so when you see like, you know, Beyonce, she won country albums, like, first of all, she don't write her own shit.
Dude, there was like 40 writers on that album. Do you know that?
Well, the thing is that we reward…
Fucking crazy.
And here's the part where it gets muddy and everyone gets to just issue off the argument. Is that Beyonce is an incredible singer and performer.
True. 100%.
But we don't want to judge. We don't want to judge her.
No, I'm going to judge her. She sucks at writing music. She doesn't do anything.
I wouldn't even.
What does she do? She just
sings it. I bet you
she,
along the way she's picked
Jay-Z.
Up some things.
There you go.
I wouldn't do it.
Oh, that's man. Don't bring him into that. Nice try, Diddy. but yeah, no. To me, that whole thing, I think it speaks to just the hierarchy of… It doesn't have to be good art. It just has to be expensive art.
Yeah, expensive art.
You know, the fact of the matter is money has completely co-opted the art distribution system. And the more, like, we talk about this all the time. Dr. Hiasu, people pay tickets to go see him. They pay money to
My
go
guy
do that.
Right there.
People will always, if they have the extra money to try to look pretentious and look smarter than you, they will try to do it. And there will always be people trying to make money off of that. That bastardizes the whole system of art. And especially this commercialized version of that, where… Taylor Swift is literally, she's fine, dude. She's fine. She's not amazing.
She's not even fine.
She's
just
not fine. That's not the argument. I'm saying she's fine. Like, fine is the original Webster's definition of fine. She's fine. She's okay. She's well. She's
decent.
Okay. Like, I'll put her on in the background when I'm going up from floor 1 to floor 10 of an elevator. I don't give a fuck. She's peanut butter to me. She's nothing. She's basic.
Wait.
I like peanut butter.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm trying to think of something that's bland. What's bland?
Corn.
J- She's Korn.
Not Korn the band Korn.
Great band. I don't know what the fuck you guys
damn
are talking about.
We don't
about.
Got good example. Damn it.
She's lima beans.
There you go.
She's lima beans. She's fine.
But how much dishes do you eat with lima
beans? With lima beans, you know? And she, to me, and that's the thing, is like the whole thing behind her is the hype train. Oh, and people fall subject to this hype train. And if you insist that you don't get it, people just don't get you. And it's this whole fucking, this co-opting.
I'll say she's a hard worker on tour and stuff.
And also
she's
extremely kind.
I won't say that.
I won't say that
Taylor Swift is a hard worker.
She works very hard.
I'm
going to
tell you this,
Johnny,
right now. I'm going to ask you to rethink
your
statement.
Did you watch the 3-hour concert of her?
I'm going to ask
you. No, I don't
think
you did.
I'm going to ask you to rethink your statement. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it into this context.
Compared to Prince, she's not
even in that, you know, that context where she's touring or whatever. How much a year does she tour? Maybe a third of the year. Which, God bless, that's hard. But remember the fact that you're a man who wakes up every fucking day and you have to face your life every day. She doesn't have to do that every day.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do
that's
that
true.
Every day.
That's
a
true.
Lot of these artists don't have to do that every day. They've escaped that. Mm-hmm. It's literally the hardest part of existence.
Yeah.
Is the fact that, hey, tomorrow, you know what? I have to be up at 4:30. I have to be up in 12 hours and I have to be at a specific place to make sure I make money and I get to, you know, pay for my life and my existence.
Yeah.
A person like that doesn't have to deal with that.
That's true.
And that's the fact of the matter where it's like, I don't care if you really work hard because I'm going to go do that tomorrow and work very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to live in a life where you only have to do that maybe a third of your year. And then guess what? You get to go to fuck off and fucking Ibiza.
You got to go watch a football game every Sunday.
Yeah. You have a good life. I don't want to hear a single fucking complaint from
you. Well, I think
you have all the attention in the world.
I'm just saying that's all I give her. She works hard.
Well, I think also it's just that she's at that level to where, you know, she can work a third of the year and then get by the rest of the time. You have bands like Bad Omens. They
I love
had
those guys.
Huge success over the past 3 years.
And they'll push for years to tour back to
back.
They're
touring, but what they're not touring, besides Noah, I'm not sure what he does, but like the other guys, they have to come back home and work. They're tattoo artists. They're doing this. They still have to make money. They're not at that level.
We talk about this all the time.
That broke my
about how art is not. I don't think art is a valid way to provide for your life. I think artists are always going to be pretentious. This is why we have Dr. Kiasu's. This is why we have Taylor Swift's.
Yeah.
Paying people because they make art is fucking gay, dude. It's fucking gay, bro.
I think provide
a value to the rest of the world. Be fucking relevant to the rest of the world. I think everybody in this room, we work blood, sweat, and toil to make sure we provide for our lives. And then we do art. And if that makes something and provides us for something, that's fucking sweet.
Yeah,
it's sweet.
Yeah.
It's a little bonus.
I think that broke my heart when I found out some of my favorite bands, they had jobs.
They still have jobs.
Off season, they had jobs and shit. I was like,
damn. I love that.
But it broke my heart because I'm like, you guys are too good to be doing that
but
shit.
I respect the fuck more out of that human. Like Amity Affliction is a good example. They're a band who I know they still work
for me,
jobs.
It was Impending Doom. Like,
and you find out,
you work at Guitar Center?
I respect the fuck out of that.
I do too. I do too.
I think it's the guitarist from, was it Periphery?
Uh-huh.
I came up with
Periphery.
Periphery,
my bad.
Periphery is wild.
Yeah. So,
you know that band?
Here's the thing. I think it was him. The guitarist, his page
Misha
popped up on
or
my shit. I don't remember which one. But you look at his page.
Mark and
he's
Misha.
A real estate agent.
Yeah.
So
Mark.
He comes home.
Yeah, Mark.
And his
I think
main
Misha
job
works at
7-Eleven. 7-Eleven.
Fuck you, Johnny.
But that's why it's
shut
like.
Shut the fuck up. Cut that.
But I appreciate that because also I work in the AV industry.
Uh-huh.
So I'm setting up these concerts. I'm setting up these conventions, festivals and shit. So I understand what it's like where you go on tour. You know, when we will go on tour, we have, you know, people are singing our songs back to us. You come back home. Nobody fucking knows. I'm just putting my head down and I'm pushing cases, building LED walls, putting up lights and shit.
And your girl's like, go take out the trash. You're like,
dude,
damn it.
She's like, here, your daughter got you a full diaper. Change this motherfucker.
Yo, that's
but that's
up.
Real, man. That to me
but
is
I
like,
appreciate
that's,
you know
life.
Who I am?
That's, yeah, that's
I,
fucking real life.
It makes,
dude,
it's relatable.
You,
yeah, makes yeah. you relate.
You tell me that Jonathan Davis, before he fucking went on show, he was hanging out with his wife and his kid and he had to change a diaper? I relate to that more. It's yeah, real. I don't want to treat Jonathan Davis like a fucking rock star. Yeah. I don't want to treat these people like they're special. That's a culture that
and
was
they don't
really
want to be treated that way.
Exactly. Yeah, like, and if you ever interact with people that are famous, they appreciate you being real and human to them more than you being fanboy and being like, oh my God. If you just talk to him like literally, oh shit. Like I've had interactions like that. Yeah, it was in her own wake. I saw them at Chain Reaction and I got backstage some fucking how. And there was like this charcuterie and I was like, dude, this is what they feed you. And I started talking and the lead singer of fucking In Her Own Wake, in Heart's Wake, I'm sorry. He was like just shooting the shit with me.
Yeah.
And just be a human.
They appreciate the normalness.
So I got like two stories with going along with that. So one of them was 2 years ago, we played a show with Fieldy from Korn.
Nice.
Nicest fucking guy possible. We played. He came by and he just fucking.
You had that on lock so fast.
Apparently.
Damn. So this is why we say you're good at that job, dude. That's
and at the end of the show, all he wants to do is fucking sit at the bar,
wants to chill,
drink, and just fucking talk. Like I'm talking about, oh yeah, hey, I went to this city and tried this food. He's like, dude. He was like, as much as I love touring, the best thing about touring for him was trying the hole in the wall places in these cities. So, you know, and then after that, we went to a taco spot down the street where we got tacos and had more beer in the parking lot.
That's sick.
And then
that's sick.
Another time, I'm
envious of him right now.
And he's the nicest guy.
Yeah. You see this all the time. People are like, those are the moments. I follow his band, Lydia, and he gives all this advice, you know, to like, a lot of the time I think about falling asleep in stairwells and all the fucking times where you didn't have enough for a hotel room. Those were the times. And I agree with them 100%. Yeah. 100-fold I agree
and
with
it's
that. That's the experience. That's what gives you the spirit to write your next song and really keep on pushing. And I mean, I personally feel like that's getting lost more and more with this serialization and kind of just making this cookie cutter. All right, this is what we want out of an artist because this is what pleases our algorithm and this is what gets people to watch. And one of the things that I really get irritated with is hearing people like, okay, well, we have to do this one specific tactic to, even if it has nothing to do with what we actually do, let's do this one specific tactic because it seems to be working for other people. That's a hard thing for me to deal with because it's like, I know I've kind of already been doing that on a meta level this entire time by like, oh yeah, I want to replicate music by, you know, from first to last or Seosin. Like I like music like that. So I want to make music like that.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that on a meta level already. But when it comes down to it, I want to add my own twist to it and have people come to it for its own reasons. So if I'm filtering it through a system that's, you know, basically dictating that I have to do it that way. Where is the room for us to be creative, be unique, change the game? There's none. They're taking that away from us. That's crazy to me.
That's the bad thing about TikTok. With TikTok, if you want to be relevant, you have to do these viral trends. And I have such a hard time because for a little bit we had a manager. And she was always telling us like, hey, this trend is viral. You got to do this. You got to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, fucking, it irks me to
that
my bone.
Gay. I don't want to do that.
I fucking hate
I'll never
it,
do a lip sync video. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'll never do a fucking lip sync video.
I do them for my own songs, for advertising, for my own songs.
Mm-hmm. If you could do it for your own song, it doesn't even fucking count. It's like a music video.
But I won't do it for someone else's songs, but it's more like
for the speech where you're reenacting a scene by like, I hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Hate that.
Dude, that makes me horny.
Like, it's like, what? Tell me why you deserve my daughter is a popular one right now.
There's one going
around where it's like, tell me why you deserve to court my daughter. And he's like, well, I love your daughter. Sir.
Is that from Holes?
Because my wiener's big. That would be my answer.
Is what?
Good answer. You should make
my wiener's big.
You should make a TikTok video.
Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
I like the idea of that.
You have to say, because my hog is big, like in Holes.
My hog.
And you bring up the pig.
God, I love how
I have the bigger pig.
I wish that I could have your spice to my. I'm Cuban and Mexican, and I can't speak with it. Your hog. My hog. I can't speak with it.
That was my gypsy. That was me being a gypsy. That wasn't me being Mexican. That was me being a gypsy.
Same.
It's the same thing. That Eastern European kind of tinge.
So you're Cuban.
I'm Cuban and Mexican, yeah.
So you're an island beaner.
Yes.
Yes. That's
yes.
What he is.
Yes. I am able to both run very fast and swim very
Aquaman.
Hard. Yes.
Yes. Aqua bean.
Pretty good.
Aqua bean.
Pretty good.
Because my old drummer, he's Costa Rican. So I would always, he hated it because I would always call him, because the island boys were big. And I was like, island beaner. Still to this day, his contact photo, I just photoshopped his face on top of the island boys.
Tell me you kept their hair in there. It was just hair. The hair. Yeah, okay, good, 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 good. That's he's good. Island you did it right. Beater. You did it right. That's good. Send that to me later. I would love to see that.
Yeah, but hey, send it to me so I can put it on the video while we're talking.
There you go. He's going to be right next to me. It's like, he's no longer with us. Did he die? No, he's dead to me.
The island beater.
I'm just playing. I love that guy.
All right. Well, I guess we're close to wrap moment, what? Right? We've gotten
shit,
through
how
the
much
episode
time
fast, right?
What where time are we at? Nick?
Where are we at?
Ain't no way. We didn't even get to talk about Velveteen.
115. Hey, it's your guys' fault.
Well, I mean, I'm down for a 130 episode. Let's get into Velveteen.
We got a good 15 minutes.
Let's talk about people going on the freeways to protest.
Yo, fuck them. I'd run them all over. So tell us about...
Yeah. Let's get into... We got to get into promoting your band.
We got to talk about your band.
Fuck my band.
Dude, we have a second Johnny on here?
The guys
we
have a second Johnny. Suck.
That's what I'm saying. My band sucks.
Dude, I heard they give the meanest blowjobs, though. If I say they, it's me.
How long have you guys been together?
Well, it's just me now.
Where did it start? Like... Give us so the ground floor.
My mom and dad decided to fuck, and I like.
Then no. I came out of there.
No, so we started.
It was a stormy dark evening
stormy
back
dark
in 1986. And,
I'm not that old. But
you know what's sad? What's is up? 1986 is my birth year.
I know.
So
I figured.
I'm 88. Mix like fucking somewhere in the 70s.
Tell me I'm not the fucking oldest guy on the podcast.
No, I'm 86 too. Fuck you, Johnny.
damn right. 86 babies
unite. Let's fucking go.
Apparently my balls dropped
unite.
Compared to you guys. But Velveteen, I started in, almost 10 years ago in 2016.
Do you get the name from Velveteen Rabbit?
No.
No.
Every time I hear it, I think of Ovaltine.
Everyone always says Velveteen Rabbit. So initially we were first called The Blinds.
Okay.
I don't hate that name. That's pretty cool.
I just didn't like it because every band is the this.
Oh, the Strokes, the Hives, the Vines. Yeah, the Vines and the Blinds, really, if you ever played with them, that would be a problem.
The Vines are fucking awesome.
The Vines and the Blinds, though. Ooh. Yeah, I see the problem.
It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work.
Yeah. But so I was with my original drummer who to this day I'm still really good friends with. We found out that we're better friends than we are bandmates because we would just fucking fight like an old married couple.
Yeah.
So after he wasn't in the band anymore, I was like, I want to change the name. I was thinking about Velvet. It's like a thread. And the teen is the youth. So it's supposed to be like the thread that keeps the youth together.
Velveteen.
Yeah, Velveteen.
Oh.
And I spelled it with a
I like
a,
that. I like that.
Because being Mexican… Feminine is A. So I wanted to give more power to femininity with using an A.
Okay.
So it's Velveteen.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we started in like 2016. I went through multiple drummers. I'm just never happy or satisfied or something. Something just happens and…
Chemistry's not right.
Chemistry isn't right. I'm a very chill guy and it takes a lot for people to piss me off. And there was… like two drummers that I had where it was just their egos were so fucking huge. And I was like, when we're playing music, this is fucking cool.
We can bleep this, but name names.
I cannot bring up his name because he's a piece of shit and I don't want to give more light to his name.
Right.
But he was a self-hating Mexican. I will say that.
That's always going to be a problem.
Yeah, he was a self-hating Mexican. But yeah, it's like, I can play music with you. You're a badass drummer. But when we're not playing and you're just talking, I want to punch you in the fucking face. the last drummer I had, we were together for about 3 years. That's where I started doing all my touring. We toured like relentlessly for like 3 years.
Nice.
It was fucking amazing. I love touring. that's where we found most of our fan base. Was touring, because that's when I found out I hate playing at home. I hate fucking playing out. Like I love
think
living in LA.
That's the best way to find it, when you play shows and find new friends. And I like saying that. I don't like saying fans, but when you find
they're family
new friends,
at that point.
Yeah, when you find new friends that like what you do, and then they support what you do, and you get in contact with them, and they're the type of people that you share their Instagram stories, and you're in touch with them, and they like support the fact. Oh, you're coming into town, like. Those are the people that I consider my fans.
We played in a small town. I think it was Rochester, New York. It was upstate New York. It was like
that's dope.
It was in a small town. It wasn't near the city. We get there and it's just they're all a bunch of white kids. They learn my Spanish lyrics. Mm-hmm. And they told me, like, we don't know what it means, but the song is fucking heavy. And they
There's a lot of screamy songs where I just know the pattern of how the guy is screaming. I don't know the syllables of what he's saying. Well, I don't know the lyrics. A lot of songs I know like that.
Yeah. And they're rapping my lyrics back to me in Spanish. And they're all like, what does it mean? I was like, you guys are just fucking learning my
shit.
So
we know you're deep. Yeah. Right now, spit for us.
Mick, cue up one of his songs too.
I'm
we'll play that one that I
with the underground,
and he does it, and he just does
God
it.
Damn,
fucking unfettered.
That we're still
around.
I love it.
Let's go. I love it. Hell
that's
yes.
That's one of her
hell
songs.
Hell fucking yes.
Let's go. Cut
hell
it.
Fucking yes. But, unfettered. Let's go.
I mean, I don't mind. I'll always do that shit a cappella. I don't care. But is it King? Yeah? Is that what he's doing? Or are we still talking?
Is this the one that you sent me, right?
Oh, you don't have the headphones.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's playing. Your song is playing.
Ew, that's why I don't want to listen.
And then, did you write all this then? If it's just you now?
Oh, okay. Well, no. This is the last song that I put out with my last drummer.
With the first drummer you had?
No. Like this was the last drummer the one that left at the end of last year. Then again, this guy he's a great fucking guy, no issues. It's just the touring became too hard, bro. Having to take time off of work when, you know, we did well financially. Our merch always sold well. That's just his work as talented.
Their merch is sick.
What's your setup like when you play live?
So I have my racks. So I'm going through a Kemper and a bass amp. So I'm splitting my signal between two amps. And then we're also using backing tracks. So we're going off the backing tracks. We have a click and then we have our in-ears and everything.
So, yeah. You guys are only touring with two of you guys?
Two of us.
That's fucking crazy.
And then there's no like guitar or anything like live guitar?
I have guitar. I'm playing guitar.
You're playing guitar.
I'm playing guitar.
Oh, shit.
So half the set is on guitar and the other half is on bass. And I just like Royal
Blood. You play both?
Yeah.
Can I hug you after this?
My penis.
This is literally something I'm trying to do right now.
Well, dude, like
I'm trying to do the same thing for my solo music.
It's the Royal Blood thing where I'm playing through a bass, but I'm bringing it up an octave. So it's making it sound like a guitar with a heavy bottom end.
Okay.
So I'm doing half the set, you know, like that.
Hell yeah.
But yeah.
There was another band I played with that did that too. I have to think of their name.
The Gay Blades?
That's me.
No, that was my band.
I swear to God, there's a band called The Gay Blades. They're good.
I can't remember them. I played with them with To Kill For, I think. Or Abracadabra, maybe. I'm not sure. Chain Reaction, though. I can't fucking think of.
You trying to be honest,
I always love like a one or two man band.
There was only like.
I always love it.
There was only two of them because he played bass, but he had like every time he hit, it was another amp. That must be what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And then it was playing the guitar part.
Yeah, because you have octave effect. I have octave effects.
That's what he was doing.
Different amps
it was sick
and
as
shit.
Fuck.
And so you can play the guitar, have it come off as bass, or okay,
or same vice versa. I got most of my because it's cool, and this is honestly it's flattering, but it's a little irritating because then I feel like I have to change shit up all the time. People see my pedal board, and they try to copy my. I've seen bands where they come see me play, and then I see
what
them
you,
like.
What do you? I mean, I'm not going to try to steal it. I promise. But what are you rocking? What are like? What's like two or three of your like big ones that you're like? I need this. I need this.
So I'm using Essential is a. I'm using a splitter, which is my tuner, the Boss tuner.
Uh-huh.
I use that to split my signal. And then I'm using a Pog.
Yeah, Boss tuner. I didn't know I could do that.
Oh yeah, because you have the bypass signal.
Yeah.
So I'm using that. I mute the bass amp
to the house.
That's crazy.
Does that go to the house or that goes to you?
That so. The bypass goes to the bass amp. So I'm muting the bass amp off and on
guy.
On certain parts. So
we
like,
need to talk after this podcast.
On like choruses, I unmute it so it fucking brings that bass out, the bass side out. And then I'm using a Pog. I have all my octaves in there. I have 3 octave pedals.
Do you have vocal pedals?
I remember this Pog I used to use. I used to use this Pog. She was
Shut up, Johnny. You're sidetracking, but we're having an actual good conversation right now.
Out of this whole podcast, we're finally having conversation.
And you bring it to, what is it, fat ass white girls?
Yes. I used to know this girl. Her name was Rebecca.
Rebecca's a great Pog name. It really is. But no, I mean, I've been experimenting with this. Actually, Mick gave me this looper pedal. Mm-hmm. I'm spacing the name on it right now. I apologize. But I've been implementing that into my live setup where I play to a backing track and a metronome and like basically drums that, you know, just go on their own. And I'm trying to make that a real dynamic set where it's exciting. So it's like trade off between doing vocals and lead guitar. And it's a lot of fun. But it's reminiscent of everything you're telling me about.
My friend, Grayskin, he just had his first live show in like a few years. 2 days ago in Boyle Heights, but now he's just doing it by himself. He's got backing tracks, and dude, the way this guy is fucking, I was blown. I was truly blown away.
Look it up, Mick. Grayskin. Did you look up Grayskin?
Is he a zombie?
If he went with that,
he used to. I don't know how to describe it, but also because he's an AV with me. I work in the AV industry.
Oh.
And he figured out how to time signature his lights to his backing tracks. So his lights are on cue with his backing tracks. And the music is so fucking good. He put on a great visual show. And just the listening experience. Like, I told my dude, I was blown away.
Is that
it
there? Over there? What he's got over there?
I think so.
Let's hear a track real quick and then we'll start wrapping up. I want to hear this. But he plays live by himself, just solo artist.
Yeah.
That's, I think this cool. is going to be a new wave of things because I know I have a drive to do it. And I'm talking to a lot of people who are doing the same thing.
Is this it?
Yeah, it's just, he has a guitar. He switches between playing guitar and bass throughout the set. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I liked his music, but the live experience was so much different. And I was like, bro.
Well, that breaks it down for me a little bit because that's one thing that I'm very excited about with this new thing is bringing a new live experience for people. That's the one thing that makes me kind of excited about even doing it. It's like, okay, well, people are used to seeing this or this or this, but I'm really excited to show them something a little bit new.
And that's one thing I wanted to bring the live experience to people. We would always bring our own lights to shows.
That's dope.
I was jumping off of amps. I was going into the fucking crowd. I was in people's faces. You might not like our recorded music, but our live experience, you're going to fucking remember that shit.
I like, a lot of bands happen that way. Yo, I've always liked that more than albums. Like if I go to a show, like a good example for me was Amir. I thought they were cool on their albums, but watching them live, I was like, these guys are fucking crazy live. They're so good live. They're intense.
They're amazing.
They're really intense live.
And that speaks
Dillinger's
a lot
another, I mean, Dillinger I like all around, but live Dillinger is fucking
and that
nuts.
Speaks for a lot for straightforward bands.
Yeah.
Where literally maybe you don't get the complexity of what Dillinger plays or the simplicity of what Amir plays on the record.
Right.
You don't hear it just with your eyes, but when you hear, or just with your ears, but when you hear it with your ears, and see it.
Yeah,
I could hear with my eyes.
Well, dude, with Bring Me, have you seen them live the last few
4
years?
4 times now.
Dude,
I've seen them once and they were fucking incredible.
My brother never
live.
Heard of Bring Me. I tried to show him and he's like, "Eh, we went to
I never liked them
we
until
went
I
to
seen
when
them
we
live."
Were young. And
Thursday, it took me seeing them live accidentally to be like, "I'm obsessed now with Thursday."
Dude, their live shows are fucking amazing. My brother was like, "This is good." And I'm so pissed off that I'm glad that they've blown up so big. I couldn't get tickets to their fucking show in LA because it was sold out. Like,
yeah,
it was fucking crazy how fast at the new Intuit Stadium, fucking sold out. I'm like, dude, I was so fucking annoyed. Like, they're playing with Plot and You and Motionless and White.
Ooh, that's sick.
That's a stacked lineup.
Yeah,
and I was so fucking pissed I couldn't get fucking tickets. I tried the first day they went on presale. I was in the fucking queue 20 minutes before.
I hate that shit.
I get up there. All the floor tickets are gone. I'm like, fuck you guys, dude. You guys are fucking
It's a nightmare
cunts.
To getting tickets. It's a
and the sad part, yeah. Dude, the sad part is they weren't actually sold out. It was just a person who was right at the front of the line, or several people who were right at the front of the line that pulled dozens of tickets.
Yeah.
And are Galpers. Reselling them.
And that's why I appreciate what Nine Inch Nails did on their last tour before
Love
COVID.
Nine Inch Nails.
I think every website should require you to acquire one ticket at a time.
Well,
one ticket at a time. I think that should be the only rule.
Jack White
shouldn't be. I mean, even scalpers, they'll get through that system. But if you're forced to acquire one ticket at a time, that's the only way to make it fair.
Well, what Jack White did on his last tour was, if you bought tickets and you couldn't go, the tickets were only valid if you could resell them on this certain website, and they were sold at face value. You could not sell them for more.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, how do you control that though without the people knowing? Because on the street, the people who are like trying to get into the show and like, we don't have tickets. Yeah, that's going to sort of navigate
the whole app. I got you on Facebook Marketplace. You know what I mean?
What Nine Inch Nails did on their last tour, which I really respected, was they weren't allowing online sales. You had to go in person to buy the ticket.
Oh, that's cool.
And I remember, because this was before COVID, I was working at a Honda dealership as a mechanic. And
naturally,
I wanted to go so bad. I couldn't get off of work.
Because he's Mexican?
Exactly.
Honda dealership? I was going to say Mitsubishi. No,
it would have been Toyota.
Toyota? Yeah. You said Mitsubishi or Toyota. That's a Mexican dealership.
But like, I had friends that went.
Auto care, profesional.
You're right. But it's like, they said the line was going around the block. But they said it was fucking so cool because you were talking to everybody.
Everybody's
that was
chilling.
Over there.
Yeah.
You're all there I'll for see the you same at the reason. Show. Yeah. That yeah. You're making new friends, and like, bands should do that.
That's a good idea. Awesome.
That's a great parallel to draw, right? The people who are in line for big Ticketmaster and fucking Ticketweb events, it's not the same thing as when you're like going to like a Glasshouse show and it's just like, oh, dude, I saw you at the last one. Yeah. Hey. There's like a culture of the fans.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that we should be encouraging that.
I miss
thrive.
That. And that's why underground needs to come back.
Yeah. We're not encouraging that underground fan culture to thrive. We're encouraging the commercialized, everybody who has the money to pay for the access. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
Well, the thing is, like, after COVID, I feel like the underground out here died. Before COVID, I remember
out here, out east, everywhere. Dude. Everywhere.
I remember going to fucking Pomona every single weekend. There were three backyard shows in fucking Pomona, Rialto, Fontana, South Central, East LA, and it was fucking packed. You guys ever heard of the Red Pairs?
Mm-mm.
The Red Pairs were huge in the backyard scene. Now
like
they're
the fruit.
Yeah, like the fruit.
Oh, okay.
Now I think they almost sold out the Shrine.
Oh, that's sick.
From the fucking backyards in Rialto to headlining the Shrine.
Auditorium. That was the first Comic-Con I ever went to, was at the Shrine.
It's crazy, but it's like after COVID, that whole scene died.
Yeah.
It's like, and it
was an intentional
back.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, I hate to be conspiracy theorist here, but that was a whole intentional thing. Another tool to rob poor people of their ability to break into being wealthy people.
And it sucked because like, I remember that backyard scene. Like I said, every weekend you were cherry picking. Well, which fucking backyard show
you could
do I
choose?
Go?
And there was literally. Yeah. I remember this too. Like where there was a time where it's like, am I going to go to this show tonight?
Yeah.
Or am I going to go to this show? Or
you
would
plan
How
it
far
out,
do I want to drive
like,
today?
Right.
You know? Or it's like you would plan it out. Like I want to see this band. I message them. They're playing at this time. I'm gonna shoot over to fucking this show right
boom,
after.
Boom. Yeah.
And they're $5 shows. Fuck it. And you were, and I remember that shit. It was so much fucking fun. And now backyard shows get rated at 8:00.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the fuck is 8:00, dude?
Yeah.
I haven't even taken my nighttime shit yet at 8:00. What the fuck are you rating
a
show
for? I had one beer.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered that maybe the reason the show gets rated is because you just took your nighttime shit?
That might be it.
It probably got rated because there's too many of you guys in there.
Oh,
the bathroom stopped working. This is officially, we can't use this venue anymore.
The cops are like, there's way too many Mexicans at this.
I
we got to shut this shit down.
No. Ice. They send ice.
Okay, so on that note, we're at right around rap time, I would say.
Yeah.
Wait, you gotta ask me about my shirt. You gotta find out about the story behind the shirt.
Oh,
My
real
Chemical
quick.
Romance?
What does it say? Bush,
it says Bush did My Chemical Romance. So So the hardcore fans would know this reference.
Uh-huh.
And all the faces are George Bush on all the…
Okay.
And it's got the towers in the back. Right. So Gerard Way was on a ferry crossing over when the buildings came down. And that's what inspired him to start the band, My Chemical Romance.
Okay.
What the…
So how everyone always says Bush did 9/11… Bush is the reason why My Chemical Romance is
I
here.
Thought it was a reference to the band that. Bush, and we were going to say something about the song Glycerin. No. You know,
no, this is a reference to 9/11 because him seeing the towers come down.
I wonder, honestly, culturally, I wonder why that band in particular, because I think there's better bands in that movement, that emo movement. I wonder why they stuck so hard. I always wondered that. But I think the virality of them, it has to do a lot with Gerard Way's wit. Like, he has a way with…
He looks sensitive. And I think people really… You know, I mean, he's
responsible for Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
He's responsible for My Chemical Romance. These are two cultural, I wouldn't say iconic things, but they have made a dent in our culture. So I'm very interested in how his mind thinks about this kind of
I'm
stuff.
Surprised he's never
so been knowing, so knowing that he was behind something like that is kind of
it
interesting.
Is amazing.
I think it stuck because all the lube and gay sex that happened.
I like it. Mm. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
Are you guys gonna play that Echo Vandal song?
Can we get?
Oh,
like
we didn't even get
talk
there.
About Echo
Jesus
Vandal.
Christ.
I know. Well, this happens.
This happens every time.
Will you guys play that Echo Vandal?
Where are we at?
We're almost 2 hours now.
No.
Let's do it Rogan style, 3 hours.
140.
Yeah, okay, that's long enough. That's long enough.
A long time.
Now, if you guys want to look
close
up
it out with that
Echo
song,
Vandal, we'll close it out with that song, but go check them out. But
What is this? Why did you bring this to the table about Jacob? I was gonna call him Velveteen. That's not his name.
You know, it's funny. My last drummer would call me Velveteen because his brother's name was also Jacob. So that's how they differentiated.
Yeah.
But I've been finding new music recently. It's been getting me excited. Landon Tour, solo stuff, Echo Vandal. It's been getting me, especially now.
I have a hard time taking Hot Chick seriously.
Well, it's like, especially now, doing music on my own and hearing how they're doing shit, it's getting me excited. It's like, dude, I can make this.
Yeah.
So like stuff like Echo Vandal, Wage War, like Landon Tours. I'm hearing shit and I'm like, I could do this shit, and it's getting me excited again.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. That's always a good thing. Getting inspired.
Yeah.
All right. So. Let's wrap it up with some plugs from you.
So,
speak into the camera and let them know. This one
right
here.
Show them. Show them.
Talk about where people could find your music, where people could find you.
So you can
find your links and everything, but go ahead. Right,
you can find me on Holt Boulevard.
He's the
locals.
One,
shout out locals.
He's the one with the red skirt.
I'm the one with the red skirt and the…
you were wearing purple when I… Wait, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
Well, here's the thing. I had just watched Framing Roger Rabbit and I wanted to look like his wife.
Yeah.
So, you know, my
you're trying to do a whole Jessica Rabbit thing.
My titties hang lower than my balls.
Now, you want to talk sexy.
Yeah,
you
want to
talk sexy.
Damn.
Jessica Rabbit or who was the one from Space Jam?
Lola Bunny.
Lola Bunny.
Lola Bunny or Jessica Rabbit?
I really wish I wasn't the first person to think of that because you know
Jessica
that's
Rabbit.
Like somewhere in my bank. But yeah, give all your plugs. Go for it.
Yeah. So yeah, you can check out Velveteen on Instagram at Velveteen, VelvaTeen _ band. Or you can check us up on TikTok, on the Twitter, or is that X now?
Whatever.
Twitter. It's kind of like I'm never going to call Staples Center crypto.
I know.
It's Staples Center.
Staples Center.
It's fucking Staples Center.
They're never going to let me. I don't even think about it as crypto.
Dude, you have transplants coming. Where's crypto? I'm like, what the fuck? It's Staples Center. Shut the fuck up. So yeah, you guys check it out on Facebook, Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere, YouTube. We're on OnlyFoods. We wear high-ass socks, so you know we're down to go down.
Is that a, that's a Fools Gone Wild reference? I'm so surprised that this shit has gotten so crazy. It's gotten huge.
Dude, my homies, my homies and Knuckleheads just put out a song with fucking with that fool.
If you're OG, you remember this.
Knucklehead is dope.
Fools Gone Wild.
I remember. You know Knuckleheads?
Yeah, Knucklehead's dope.
That's that's the
they did a song together.
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah.
My homie Joel, shout out. He actually, the first album we put out, he was the producer.
Okay,
and
that's sick.
He's the main songwriter for Knuckleheads, and he's the lead guitarist.
Awesome, nice.
So that's the homie. I'm glad to see where they've gone, man. Dude. They
shout out Knuckleheads. They're dope.
Find you directly.
Yeah.
My phone number.
911. It's literally the best plug I've ever heard. That's so awesome. I should do that from now on. I'm gonna do that. Find me at 911. No, you gotta do it like this. My phone number 911.
But not directly. The best way is on Instagram
At
Velveteen _ band.
Awesome.
Velveteen _ band.
Perfect. Awesome. This is, I would say, this has been a great episode.
It's a great episode. We got to definitely have you back on.
We didn't talk about the band at all, but this was fun.
No, we got insight into our guest, which was great.
Honestly, dude, I only live 25 minutes away, so I am down to come down and shoot the shit with you guys.
Oh, dude, you'll be another repeat guest for sure.
But when they turn off the cameras, they're never going to invite me back.
Guys, he's never going to be here again. He will be deported.
He's never coming back. He's only coming on backs because my girl doesn't want to have another kid yet. Babe, get on it. I want another one. I need another tax write-off. What the fuck?
Well, coming on backs is not going to get you that.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to come another
cream
place.
Pie.
Listen here, Harambe.
I need you splitting hairs? No, I don't.
Yeah.
Thank
you. The hairs I'm splitting are your butt cheeks.
All right, you're talking to at the Ranthony on Instagram. That's the only plug I have. Follow me on there. Anything that's important with my life, that's where it's happening.
I'm
right
an alcoholic.
Now. Follow my new band, Witch. That's with the double V. So, like you say it, like you're German, Witch. Witch, the band, and Dead Widow, TA. Follow me there. Johnny.
Follow me on Instagram, Johnny Savage, JonnySavag, without the E, without the H, on Instagram. I'll be doing more fucking shit on there soon. Follow us on IG, The Stool Podcast. We do have our own page now. It's no longer linked with The Dunce.
It's own solo
thing. They're their own two things now. So you got The Dunce Official. You got The Stool Podcast. That's what you got now. You got both of them. So you'll see pictures, link, all that good shit on both of them. Make sure you guys like and subscribe here. Also, check out my band DNG Heavy on IG. We got a new music video coming out.
We should play that on the
song coming out.
Can we play that with
Compromising
like, in the corner?
I don't have. No, the song's not out yet.
Oh, I thought you were talking
you
about
you dirty
quantum.
Commie. How dare you?
We'll play Quantum on the way
quantum
out.
Quantum over the outro.
We'll play
Quantum. Before you play the outro, I want to give a shout out to my daughter, Liliana, because she's only 2 months, but maybe she'll find this video in a few years. Daddy loves you, and you didn't come out early enough to be my tax write-off this year, so I'm mad at you still.
You fucked
Boo.
Up.
You motherfucker. And also to my
Boo,
son, Cass.
Liliana.
You're fucking awesome. Yes, Liliana. Boo.
Boo.
You didn't come out early enough.
Boo.
We fucking tried.
No tax write-off.
You were
Boo.
8 days late. I'm fucking mad. I don't get a tax write-off this year. You mad.
That's amazing.
I love you, baby.
That's
but
amazing.
But I'm mad at you.
That's amazing. Hell yeah. What right, a
go,
close.
Go ahead, Mick. What? Tell the people what you got, Mick. And we'll close it.
You can check me out on IG at Mixtradamus.
Mixtradamus.
Stop! I swear to God, the next time you say it, I'm going to jump over the fucking
go ahead and give us a follow on TikTok at The Dunce and at The Dunce Official on IG. Go ahead and check us out. Give us some love. And if you find any of this information, important to you, go ahead and leave us a comment below. Hit that like and subscribe button, guys.
Yes, please interact
with
us.
Thank you, thank you.
That's what we are seeking.
Absolutely.
People to interact with us.
And other than that, Cherry Coyote, I'm working on some stuff right now.
I know all the songs now. I know how to play all
sick.
Of them now.
My man.
Cherry Coyote is going to be
I've been rehearsing this
sick.
Week. I rehearsed 4 times this
yeah,
week. It was nice.
So, any much other than that, thanks for tuning in to the Stool Podcast. Go ahead and take us out, John.
Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. We love you. Just make sure you like and subscribe. Again, also follow us on IG Beast Stool Podcast and also on TikTok Beast Stool Podcast. You'll see clips. You'll see a bunch of fun stuff. We have segregated from the Dunce's pages.
Don't use that. What? That's the word you choose?
I'm all about segregation, guys. That's all I'm saying. So make sure you guys follow us and check us out. All right. We appreciate you. Love, much respect, and thanks. Thank you so much.
Love you guys.
Bye.